Welcome to the space show, Chris.
Thank you very much.
Why would we want to know precisely the shape of the Earth, other than the intrinsic, yes, we now know. Is there any practical use to knowing the shape of the Earth?
Oh, well, long ago there was no practical use for the average surveyor. And I must again emphasise that geodesy is the higher end of surveying, what we call the mathematical foundations of surveying. There is no, if you like, justification for a government putting money into determining a better figure of the Earth in order to support its mapping program. That's clear. It's purely driven by science. Both geophysics and oceanography require more precise gravity fields in order to deduce, in the geophysical case, the relative distributions of masses, what those masses in the upper part of the Earth's mantle are doing, what is the nature of the mechanism driving continental drift, and of course the ultimate geophysical question is, what causes earthquakes, how can I predict where they occur? And for that information you really do need both gravity field information and also the tectonic rates, because if there is a year-by-year monitoring of the motion across, for example, the San Andreas Fault, and then certain part of the fault suddenly stops moving, then this, of course, could imply a build-up of stress, which would have to be released as an earthquake. We haven't reached that far, but that certainly has been one of the primary driving forces for over 10 years for the space program, for the Earth Sciences program in the US. By NASA. The oceanography side, that's something that has received renewed interest because the new generation of satellites are going to be launched with radar altimeters. Yes, these remote sensing satellites are optimized for sensing the ocean. They will sense such things as the wind fields, the wave characteristics, the ocean color, the biological activity, and one very other very important measurements they make, which is of very, very fundamental to geodesy, is they'll measure the distance from the satellite to the ocean surface to better than 10 centimetres. This distance is analogous to the ranges that we make from satellite ranging stations, and therefore what the satellite can be used for is to actually directly sense the ocean surface. If you know the satellite orbit, so that is the challenge now, that you can imagine that there are ground-based systems and other tracking technologies being developed that will track that satellite orbit now to better than 10 centimetres, you hang then a distance down towards the centre of the Earth from the altimeter, and you are able to therefore track, as the satellite flies over the ocean, where that strip of ocean is in space, in three dimensions. It's a classic mapping problem. Now, at the very beginning of this interview, I said that the gravity field of the Earth, or the surface of the gravity field, is very, very close to that of the ocean surface, the mean level of the sea. Now, that approximation really only is accurate to 1 or 2 meters, because the ocean surface, because of the currents and the inhomogeneities of the temperature and salinity, causes the oceans to stand slightly higher or slightly lower than where gravity would expect them to be if the oceans were still. This deviation is called sea surface topography, this deviation from the gravity field. And in fact, the term sea surface topography implies the same thing as what it does in land. We talk about land topography as being height above sea level. We can now talk about the height of sea level above the ultimate datum surface, which is the gravity field surface called the geoid, a particular equipotential surface of the gravity field. It is this geoid that is being mapped as part of the continuing process of satellite geodesy. Ever since the first spacecraft was launched, ever since Sputnik, our knowledge of the gravity field has been progressively improved. It's still not good enough for us to actually then determine the sea surface topography. Remember, the altimeter senses the surface directly. The gravity field is known indirectly from other satellite studies. The challenge is to derive how much that sea surface deviates, because that sea surface topography actually gives us information on the power of the ocean circulation. If we could monitor that and how it varies from season to season, how it moves around, how eddy structures are formed and break off, all the sort of oceanographic problems of mesoscale variability in the ocean, which has all sorts of other implications in terms of climate modelling, transfer and of heat and momentum in oceans, all sorts of other very, very basic questions, not only in oceanography but in the associated fields. If we could provide this additional geometric number, if you like, this sea surface topography as a contour map, and be able to provide that over regularly, say on a monthly level, then we would be able to have a snapshot and the evolution of the circulation patterns that do vary from those which are the stationary topography, which is due to the main ocean circulation patterns. Because what is really of interest is that 10% to 30% of the ocean circulation that varies at any one time. It's not the part that is constant. We all know there's a Gulf Stream or a Kuroshio. The interest really is in how that meanders, how it changes, and looking at it over time. Gone are the days when everything was looked at only in terms of three dimensions. Same argument about the discussion about tracking station coordinates only had a certain use-by date. The demand now in oceanography and geophysics is to start looking at the time-varying processes, because they're the ones that really contain the interesting material that tell us the variability and that what impact they have on the other processes which we wish to understand more about.
So just as the continents are moving around, and we can now measure that with satellites, earthquakes, we can, getting almost to the stage we might be able to predict them with satellites, and now we can monitor the changes in the Gulf Stream and things like that.
Yes, very definitely. The 1990s will be the decade of monitoring ocean circulation patterns. I mean, the real big mission, of course, is the Earth Observing System that NASA is proposing with huge platforms, but which now, of course, is undergoing renegotiation into smaller space platforms. But one of the sensors on there will be the altimeter. It will fly. The Europeans have just launched us the ERS-1 last year. The combined US-French mission called TOPEX Poseidon will be launched this year in July, if it goes according to schedule. There are Japanese, Canadian satellite plans. Then comes the EOS group of satellite missions. We have ERS-2. And in addition to that, there are a number of US Navy satellites, because obviously this whole discussion about oceanography does have a military component, and the US Navy is very, very interested in monitoring ocean circulation and what that implies in terms of strategic advantages and so on. So yes, there will be, this is the 1990s could be considered the decade of the when we really look at the ocean and its variability.
Well, thank you, Chris, for joining us tonight on the Space Show.
Thank you very much.